Well, I find it fitting that we have a reading about vineyards and growing things in a season like this. It works out very well. I myself am an exceedingly amateur gardener. I love tomatoes, and I love growing tomato plants to the degree that my wife says I obsess over them. So I have these seedlings. I start them in March every year, and this year I'm trying heirloom tomatoes. If anybody knows anything about heirloom tomatoes, please, I would welcome any tips or feedback. And so I've grown these, and they're about that big right now. And I went to the Ellington Agriculture Center just this week, sort of to see what they had. Maybe you've been there. They have a farm there. And they had the exact same tomatoes, exact same. But they were like this big. And all I could think was, what am I doing wrong? You know, the amount of blogs that I've read about silly tomato, I mean, it is ridiculous. But the point is, you see, someone who knows what they're doing, a master gardener, the end result is evident. You can tell how good a gardener is by the end result. And one of the things that we learn in our gospel reading today is that God himself is the master gardener. And it's proven in Jesus Christ. God is the master gardener. Now, much of this passage that we just heard is relatively straightforward. That's one of the things I love about it. As a simpleton, it appeals to me. But there are a few hidden details of wisdom in there that I don't want you to miss. The first one is this. Did you notice how Jesus says in the very beginning that God the Father is the vine dresser, he is the vine worker, but that Jesus himself is the vine? God is the vine dresser and Jesus is the vine. In other words, you and I, we are not the vine itself. And what that means is that God the Father perfectly tends to, cares for, and sustains God the Son. And we could expect as much as well. If you read throughout the Old Testament, there's a place in Isaiah chapter 5, there are portions of Jeremiah that speak of Israel as a vineyard. There are portions all throughout the Old Testament that speak of Israel as a plant. For instance, even the burning bush of Moses, it's not for nothing that is a plant. And what that means is all of the sustaining power of God is found in Jesus Christ. And Jesus himself, he even makes this clear in our reading. He says, unless you abide in me, you can do nothing. As we come to find out, you can abide in all sorts of things and produce all sorts of things, but they will amount to very little unless we abide in God the Son. And the reason, you see, we know that he is trustworthy, that God is the great gardener, is because he has protected, sustained, shepherded Israel to produce the perfect offering, Jesus Christ. Jesus, friends, did not come from nowhere, and that is why we can trust him as the true vine. Now, the second is simply about what this would look like. What would it even look like for Christ to be the true vine, God to be the gardener, and what would that mean for us? And now I hesitate to do this, but I'm going to refer to Greek. Here's a little inside snippet for those of you who come hear sermons quite a bit. If the pastor talks about Greek, chances are they don't know that much about it. Greek is typically best understood by the people who translate those things into your Bibles. They're actually good at that. The people who are paid to do that are good at it. Now, this is, however, one of those words where I do think there are a variety of shades to what it means, the word abide. The Greek word for it is meno. It means to remain. It can also mean to continue on in a particular state or a way of being, so it has that feature to it. But it can also mean something far more simple, like simply to live with, to dwell, to make yourself home in. And so Jesus is saying here to make yourself at home in him. Make yourself at home in Jesus. What would that even mean? Well, just think about for one moment what your home is for you. Home is where you spend most of your time. Home is where you make most of your meals. Home is where you can rest, where you can fall asleep in perfect vulnerability, knowing that you'll be safe. Home is often where we raise our families. Home is where you can be utterly yourself. Home, in other words, is where all of your life, all of who you become actually happens. And we know that about people because to not have a home, we know this is traumatic. Home makes you, in some ways, who you are. And so when Jesus says, make yourself at home in me, it can mean a whole assortment of things, but at the very least, it means think about him constantly. It means relate everything that you experience to him. It means go to him when you need rest. Go to him when you're hungry. Go to him when you need shelter. Go to him when you don't know where to turn. Go to him when you've forgotten who you are. And in a way, this is even why we have a liturgical calendar in the first place. The whole liturgical season, think about it, it is a way of abiding, living with, making yourself at home in the person of Jesus. If you're not familiar with the liturgical tradition that we have, we move from Advent and Epiphany and Lent and Easter and Pentecost into ordinary time. All of those correspond to particulars of Jesus' own life with us, his birth, our understanding of who he is, the revelation of himself, the time of preparation where he's offered himself as a sacrifice for our good, the resurrection then, finally the giving of his Holy Spirit. The whole year, all of us, again and again and again, will map our lives onto the person of Jesus Christ so that we might abide in him. So that you can, in each day, in each particular season, make yourself at home in his person, and in his work, and in his character. But again, how would we know that we're even doing this correctly? It's simple. Jesus says, you, those who abide in me, you will bear fruit. Again, what does that mean? What kind of fruit? How much? What would it even look like? Well, the epistle to John, it tells us it would look like the movement of the Spirit. What would that look like? I think it would look like the gifts of the Spirit. Galatians 5 is a classic passage on this topic, but it's so important. In Galatians 5, you may know this, Paul is writing to new Christians who want to make circumcision the rite of entry into the new Christian life. They want to continue the practice of ritual circumcision as a way of justifying one's entry into the people of God. And Paul says, quite frankly, if you do that, if you make circumcision the benchmark of your entry into the people of God, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Why? Because, remember what I said, Christ is the true vine under the perfect gardener. Christ is the produce. He is the living fruit of God shepherding, taking care of, perfectly calculating and manifesting his own person and work into the life of Jesus Christ so that he can offer himself as the one perfect sacrifice and offering on our behalf. In other words, do not try to earn your status. Do not try to earn your right of entry into the kingdom of God. He has done it for you. Abide in him. Abide in him. Make yourself at home in him. He said that if you simply keep the law, whatever that might look like, it will produce something, be sure. But it might not be what you want. He says that the works of the law, self-justification, they produce fruits that look like idolatry, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, sexual immorality, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, all of these things that you and I do not want to be. Nobody goes to bed at night or ends their own life and says, I wish I had been more like all of the things that Paul mentions in this portion of Ephesians. In other words, it will yield nothing. But the fruit of the Spirit, he says, is this. It's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are all things, I know it, that you and I both long for. Those are the kinds of things that make a person beautiful. Those are the kinds of things that you strive for your whole life. He says, Jesus, if you dwell in me, you make yourself at home in me, God the Father, the perfect gardener, will produce that fruit. It is the farthest thing from legalism you could ever imagine. He is the gardener, and yet it is rigorous in a way, isn't it? Wherever you abide, wherever you dwell, wherever you have made yourself home, will produce works fitting to the environment. Here's how I've been thinking about it. Some of y'all know this, but maybe 3 years ago, it was Thanksgiving, and I had my first panic attack at my parents' house. It's the perfect place to have a panic attack. Your whole family is there. They get to watch it happen. Just kidding. It was an awful place to have a panic attack. But if you haven't ever had one of those, it feels, I imagine, somewhat like dying, although you are perfectly safe, I'm told. So that's good news. But I would imagine some of you have also had one of those. They're terrifying. And mine were infrequent. They weren't all that common, but they did come up with some regularity. And eventually I went and I just realized, gosh, goodness, I need to get some help. So I went to a counselor who came at the recommendation of a trusted friend. And I came to learn more and more about how we undergo these sorts of things. And what I saw in my own life was that all of my life was lived out in this sort of mild state of panic. Continuously sort of low-level freaking out about the future of my children or what might happen at work or what could happen to my wife, constantly afraid. And the practices that sort of bore this fruit were things like staring at my phone, the first thing I did when I got up in the morning, compulsively checking my emails, trying to keep certain portions of my own life as tidy as possible. But the fruit, well, it didn't look that different from what I just read from Galatians chapter 5. Where you abide is the fruit that you produce. And I came to discover that if I abide in, remain in, the unrelenting, never stopping, always present love of God given in Jesus Christ, if I dwell on him, think about him, ponder him, actually stop my life long enough to concentrate on his goodness and his love and his word, guess what? Your life slowly starts to change. And I don't know if I'm producing better fruit necessarily, but I am certainly experiencing love, joy, peace, greater patience, kindness of God, his goodness, his gentleness, and his faithfulness. You see, friends, abide in the person of Jesus. God, the perfect gardener, will tend to your soul and raise you into a beautiful person, because that's how he has made you to be. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.